call you Septic Tank Man. You call you Septic Tank Man when it's all backed up and you can't use a can. Call you Septic Tank Man.
Oh, Tommy Brandt is the artist for the Septic Tank song. I didn't know there was such a thing, and I'm not sure if our guest did either. Matthew Jansen's our guest. And we're taking a deep dive, literally, into the topic that's often overlooked. But I tell you what, it's essential for many homeowners, and that is the septic tank system, or septic system. Larry Mueller here. Matthew Jansen is with us. Matt's the private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer with the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. As we talk with Matt, I hope you'll join in. When was the last time you inspected your system? What do you avoid pouring down the drain or flushing down your toilet? Maybe you're wondering how to tell if your septic system is failing. Give us a call. Number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us to talk@wpr.org. Matt, you're the private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer, and that's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yes.
Tell us more about what you do with your job.
Typically, we call it POUTS, which is an acronym for that. Otherwise, we just use septic systems. Most people understand what we're saying when we say septic system. So what my job is I'm actually a field person, so I interact between the homeowner, pumpers, plumbers, county agents for us. I joke around that I should have a black and white shirt on and a yellow flag. I play a referee between everybody, make sure the state rules are enforced and everybody's on a level playing field.
So. Oh, my gosh. Well, who's actually responsible for maintaining septic? System.
Well, the maintenance themselves is the responsibility of the homeowner or business owner. So they're the ones that are ultimately responsible to make sure that it's being maintained. And there is a requirement, a state statute and administrative code that requires at least once every 3 years that the systems are or the tanks are looked at to see if they do need to be pumped.
Okay.
So many of your listeners are probably aware of or familiar with a card or a letter that the county sends them to say that they're due for their maintenance.
And so it's every 3 years?
Every 3 years, correct.
Okay. What if you've never pumped your tank?
Well, they should still be getting a maintenance card. Legislation had taken place several years ago where they required all the counties to do an inventory of all the systems that they have in their jurisdiction, and then as part of that, put them on a maintenance plan. So if they haven't, then they're sort of falling off the radar of the county or the local governmental unit. But I'd say 99.9% of the folks out there are getting some kind of card and asking for maintenance.
Yeah. Craig in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Craig.
Hey, I have some neighbors that had their field probably, or the pipe going to the field freeze. And so he called the local plumber, and they said, yeah, they've got about 60 calls over the last few days about septic lines and fields freezing. Anything you can do to help that?
Well, there are a few things that you can do to help prevent freeze-ups. Unfortunately, once you have a freeze-up, the best remedy for that is spring. Because you know, the conditions there, I mean, we can do some things to help it along, but it's like putting a Band-Aid. And until you fix the root cause, and that could be either adding better insulation to your tank, which isn't a common thing that's done. Also, your drain field if it's freezing up. Keeping the grass a little bit longer out there, letting snow cover help insulate it. This year we haven't been blessed with a lot of snow cover. That's the reason we're seeing freeze-ups.
Yeah, so not a whole lot you can do.
Not a whole lot. I mean, you can hire people that can jet it out. You know, they'll take like steam and they'll jet out your pipes. The problem is if it's still cold outside and you still don't have snow or insulation, you're going to have freeze-ups again.
It's going to freeze up again. Oh, Craig, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, email to talk@wpr.org. And it's important to maintain that system. I got to believe. You're not going to be happy when it's not working.
No, it's one of those things that it sort of harkens back to, you know, the late night commercials. You know, you instead of set it and forget it, you flush it and forget it. Most people aren't thinking about what goes on. You know, as long as the plumbing works in the house, you don't think until you have a problem. And most of the things are things that you can do in your home. I mean, not putting things down or that are a detriment to the system. So even though things say like they're flushable, most likely if it's not toilet paper or something that came out of you, it probably shouldn't be going down the drain. It's going to cause problems either in the septic tank for the pumper, or it may bypass and get into the drain field and cause issues down there.
My sister has a septic system and lives out in the country. And one thing she always, I take her grocery shopping from time to time. And one thing I notice, she always looks on for toilet paper. There's toilet paper that is, there's a kind that is better than, there are types that are have a little code on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do see some of that, you know, the manufacturers, propose that their product is better than others. There's a wide range of products that are useful out there and the ones that are, you know, not much causes a detriment, but some can be better than others. And I guess I could just recommend to the readers, you know, to do your own research on the internet. But for the most part, the toilet paper brands, you know, they're usually not the root cause of the problems. It's other things that are non-biodegradable, you know, flushable wipes, you know, cigarette butts, other, as I call them, human artifacts, other things that people put down the drain that shouldn't be down there, or things like greases and oils or paint thinner, stuff like that. You know, it upsets the biology of the septic system and can harm your drain field.
Adam in St. Croix Falls has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I recently bought my house about 3 years ago, and shortly after I noticed there's a small sinkhole. It appears to be right over top of the line in the drain field. Wondering if that's an indicator of a problem.
Sort of a sinkhole.
Yeah, if you have a sinkhole or if you have some kind of change on top of your drain field, you know, it may be a problem. It may not. And so that's something where you're really going to have to call a professional, have them come out there and evaluate it. It could be something as simple as, you know, gopher or woodchuck, you know, burrowing into your system. It could be something more severe like a pipe is broken and you have a disconnection there and it's actually eroding out part of your, you know, part of the soil from the wastewater as it's being discharged out to your drain field. So it could be something more severe or it could be something as simple as, you know, a rodent or somebody, you know, something digging out in your drain field.
You could have somebody come and take a look at it then?
Yeah, you would hire basically the plumbers. The way Wisconsin's set up is that in order to work on septic systems, you have to be licensed as a plumber. So if you call one of your plumbing shops and ask, they're divided whether people work in interior or exterior plumbing. As long as they're either a full master plumber or master plumber restricted, they can work on septic systems.
Okay. And this isn't probably the best time to be doing it unless you have a problem.
Again, it's really tough to evaluate things when everything's frozen up. If it's something obvious like that, like you have a hole and you have sewage coming out of the ground, obviously that's something that they can note. But otherwise, especially if there's something possibly wrong with the drain field and a soil evaluation is needed, that you're going to have to wait until spring when weather conditions improve.
Adam, there you go. Thank you for calling. Ann in Watertown, we'll go to you. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I have a question about do we need the need for adding bugs or bacteria to your septic system?
Well, that's a great topic. I call it sort of traditional folklore, is that basically anything that comes out of your body that goes down the drain, the septic system and the drain field are designed to treat that wastewater. We don't really need to add anything. There's a lot of commercial products that purport to do certain things, but the simple fact is the biology on its own will take care of that waste. So I've heard a lot of folklore remedies such as, you know, flushing down yeast to a dead mouse or a dead chicken in a septic tank to a cup of dog food. It's really unnecessary. The waste itself has the bacteria in it. The soil has bacteria in it. It will take care of any waste that we do put down the drain into that tank and that drain field.
All right. And there you go. Thank you for calling. Karen in Madison, your turn. Hi, Karen. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for fielding my phone call. I'm an urban dweller, and so I know nothing about septic systems, but it does make me think about, okay, when there's a break in a pipe, and what about protection of waterways, and, you know, the sewage that goes down through the soil, and are there rules where people can actually build so that, you know, we're not willy-nilly putting septic systems. And how costly is it for the land? Because now with so much growth in, like, Dane County and the city of Madison, and, you know, is all of that factored in when you allow people to put a home in the middle of the country somewhere?
Yeah, Wisconsin first implemented rules concerning domestic sewage or private sewage in 1914. So Wisconsin's actually been a forerunner across the nation dealing with septic systems. So there's a whole host of different codes that require separation distances, both vertically and horizontally, from things that may impact wastewater. So when we design systems, not only does it go through a tank for some settling and basic digestion of the waste, but then it goes out to a drain field, whether it's a conventional or a mound or an at-grade, and then that's the sort of the final purifier clarification of that wastewater before it goes into groundwater, potentially. So we have separation distances that we have to maintain. There's soil tests that are done to evaluate the soil to make sure we meet those separation distances. So I know there's a lot of concern about development, but each individual home is individually sited, very precise when we look at things. And so, you know, they are being addressed individually as each home builds. We look at each individual site and determine what they can do or can't do on that site.
Yeah. Karen, there you go. Thank you. Ann in Toma, it's your turn. Hi, Ann.
Good afternoon, and thank you so very much for this program. It's just timely. My septic pumper told me to put root killer down into the septic system, you know, via the toilet. And I said, well, how often should I do that? He says, whenever I think about it. Well, I think about it every day.
So you got roots growing in your...
The seed has been planted, so now you're going to think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, something like that, I mean, if we do have root intrusion or something, it's sort of akin to talking about freeze-ups, is that, you know, by putting something down the drain, and there are products out there that will make the roots sort of retreat or shrivel up or exit that area. But the problem is then it's sort of like putting a Band-Aid on an open wound, is that you need another Band-Aid, another Band-Aid, another Band-Aid. And really, you know, the issue is why do we have roots intruding in there, and is there something that we can do to stop that? And that goes into the whole, there's a whole nother discussion. I mean, if trees are already existing in long-standing home and you're having root intrusion, that's one thing. But we also get some others where people, you know, have a mound system newly installed and they want to plant shrubs or trees. And, you know, things like that, you have to be careful what you plant around it to make sure that we're not causing detriment down the road. So in cases like that, you can have an additive that will help remove the roots, but really it's sort of a Band-Aid on a long-term situation.
What should you plant on a mound? I mean...
Grass.
Grass.
That's about it. You can get by with some other things. I know people have done some flower beds, other shallow plants. But really, the more things you plant out there other than grass, you start to run a higher and higher risk. So if you want shrubs or you want trees, that's a higher risk. Certain types of trees that are water-loving, you know, like maples, for instance, or willows, they will seek out that water in your drain field, and next thing you know, you'll have root intrusions.
Mm.
So the farther away you can keep them, and I know sometimes we put systems out there and people are worried about losing a tree, and we say, yeah, even if the tree lives, the problem is it's going to be close to that drain field, and you're going to have root intrusion problems down the road.
Mm. Ann, thank you so much for calling. Matt Jansen, our guest today, private on-site wastewater treatment systems plan reviewer with our Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at systems, septic systems today with our guest Matt Jansen, who is with the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services and zeroes in on these kinds of issues. Great to have him with us today. And Joe in Jefferson has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Larry. You guys are a great resource. Love WPR.
Thank you.
Yes. Kind of a two-part question. First, just a quick follow-up on the weed killer. I was told to put that down the vent, not in the toilet. Does it matter? Like, out in the, I have the, not a mound, but I have a drain field. So I don't know if it makes a difference, but they probably both have a vent pipe that you'd put it right there, because wouldn't that be where the roots would be? Not something that needs to go down the toilet and into the septic box, correct?
Correct. I mean, again, if you do have roots, you need to sort of look at where the roots are getting in and why, and possibly address that. There may be a crack in a pipe or something where the roots are getting in. If they're just infiltrating your whole drain field, you know, that's a whole nother issue. It's usually because plants or trees are too close. And again, putting any kind of root killer down there is just putting a Band-Aid on the bigger issue.
Yeah. There you go, Joe. Thank you. Susan in Fitchburg, your turn. Hi, Susan.
Hi. So I have a septic system, and I'm wondering, is it a good idea to buy those little pouches at Menards where you put one down your toilet every month, and it's supposed to, I guess, replenish the bacteria in the septic system? Is that something good, or is it not necessary?
As we had mentioned before with another caller, is that, you know, all the bacteria that are naturally occurring in the waste and in your septic tank is more than sufficient to do the breakdown of the waste. And, you know, the products that are additives aren't really necessary. I mean, a lot of manufacturers purport to do miraculous things, but really the waste that's there has bacteria in it. It will naturally decompose on its own. You don't need to add anything to it.
Yeah. Susan, there you go. Mark in Appleton, we'll go to you next. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. I was wondering, I go up north ice fishing, and I end up with some minnows and some little shiners left over, and I don't want to put them outside because my dog gets into them, whatever, and I'm too far from the lake to throw them to the eagles, and I can't find anybody to use them. Is it okay to, I have a basement toilet that goes right out to the field. Is it okay to pour little shiners and minnows down?
I doubt that would cause any harm to your tank. Most of the septic tanks on like an average three-bedroom home are 1,000 gallons. So a few minnows going down there, you know, it's organic material. So it would be no different than if you had a fish fry and you had, you know, an extra piece of fish or something that happened to go down the drain. I mean, you obviously want to minimize the amount of organic matter that you're putting down drains, but I don't think that would cause a problem. Just like anything, you know, minimize the impacts that you have. You know, dilution is the solution kind of thing.
Mark, there you go. Let's go to Joe in Lac des Flambeaux next. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm wondering about laundry drain into a septic system and or garbage disposal. At one point, I heard that, you know, that's not good, the laundry, because so much coming in at one time stirs everything up. And so I'm just wondering about what's the opinion nowadays. Thanks.
Well, by law, all discharges from a home have to go into a septic system. So laundry does have to discharge into a septic system. So they can't be daylighted out on the ground. There's actually quite a few contaminants, bacteria, things like that, that are in the laundry water, and they have to be treated. So that's your first answer. But sort of tying in with the garbage disposal and laundry, again, as I mentioned, sort of dilution is the solution. If you're doing laundry, you'd like to try to spread it out during the week instead of doing like seven loads on Saturday. If you do one load a day, it's easier on your system. It helps keep the contents, you know, still, and it doesn't stir things up. If you put a lot of water in there, it's going to stir things up. Also, with the garbage disposal, if you're on a septic system, you want to limit your use. Anything that would go down to garbage disposal can also go down your garbage can, and it's most likely or best that you put it down the garbage can instead of running it down to garbage disposal. Just makes your system work that much harder.
Fred in Owen, Wisconsin, we'll go to you. Hi, Fred.
Hi, I just had a question about the potential of building a new home, but the issue of being able to perk or not perk when it came to the system was brought up with the land, and I was just kind of curious if you could explain that a little bit.
Sure. You know, a lot of the vernacular is people still say, does a site perk or not perk? Percolation tests have long since been written out of the code. So we don't do a percolation test anymore. That was pretty much pour water in a hole, see how fast it goes away. If you're on something like crevice bedrock, water will still go away fast, but it doesn't get any treatment. So we actually do a soil analysis where we'll have people that'll go look at the soil profile and determine loading rates based on the structure, texture of the soil to determine how much it can handle. handle, and if we have a separation distance to groundwater or perched water tables or bedrock if we would encounter that. So what most people are thinking of, does it perk or not, is that does it come back as something other than a holding tank? We do give at the state, you know, the county's actors are agents, but individual counties can pass ordinances while they will more may restrict holding tanks to a system of last resort. So if they do that and your system only is suitable for a holding tank, then you would not be able to build on that site because they would say no new construction for holding tanks. So that's what people usually refer to when they say, does it perk or not? Whether that holding tank is restricted, that's up to a local county ordinance. Otherwise, if it does, quote, pass, then you would get either a conventional or a mound or an at-grade or some other kind of system other than a holding tank.
Fred, thanks for calling. Bob in Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I have a conventional system. The kids have moved out, so it's just mom and I on a four-bedroom system. And every 3 years you get the card to have it inspected. And the question is, should I have it pumped or should I just have it inspected? And I've had two different pumpers and they tell me different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the state requirement is that every 3 years that you have the system evaluated, and it has to be pumped out if it's more than one-third full of scum and sludge, so more than one-third full of solids in the tank. If it does not have one-third, it can be signed off by various different credentialed people, and then you can postpone it for the next period. But if it is more than that, then it does have to be pumped. So pumping it more often probably isn't going to hurt anything. Yeah, we do remove bacteria, but there's plenty still in there. And by the time the tank fills up, it will be working just fine. So it's sort of like, you know, getting your oil changed on your car. People recommend every 3,000 miles you change your oil. If you go 5,000 because some synthetic products or other high mileage, you can go longer. That's up to you. But you're not going to hurt anything by pumping it out, but you can have it inspected if you so wish.
Bob, there you go. Thank you. Jack in Madison, your turn. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. We had some friends that had the wooden top of an old septic tank suddenly let go, and half of their front yard settled out about 3 feet. They got that taken care of. But my question is about my property. Two things. One is there's an old well somewhere on the property, and I'm curious about your ideas on trying to locate that. And the other is, supposedly there's a septic tank out back by the barn that was popped out when lightning hit the barn sometime in the 40s. So I guess that kind of brackets the time frame that septic system would have been constructed in. I'm wondering about your ideas, too, on trying to locate that tank before my, you know, riding lawnmower drops into the pit.
Yeah, old unused tanks are problematic because usually it's before sanitary records were being kept. A lot of counties have started keeping sanitary permit records sometimes in the late 60s, early 70s. And even those were spotty. So before that, you're talking 40s, you're probably, your guess is as good as mine, what might be out there or where it is. Trying to find something like that, if you still have piping connected to it, there are some companies that do have cameras that they can send down to try and track the pipe and find out where that tank is. Without that, the only other way is basically a long steel rod, and you walk out and you probe to see if you can hit a lid or hit a cover. But if you have a lot of rocks, you're going to find them before you're ever going to find a tank.
Oh, yeah, there you go, Jack. And Karen in Holman. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question as far as alarm to warn us if our septic's going to back up. We didn't have an alarm when we moved in, and we had a little backup, nothing major, but we then eventually had an alarm installed. An electrician put the alarm in, but he didn't know about hooking it up like out to the tank. And then when we had the tank pumped, the next time I asked him about it, and he is like, well, it looks like it, but I don't know about the electrical part of it. So.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some tanks. If you just have a holding tank, there's no drain field, so they have an alarm in them when they're ready to be pumped. Otherwise, traditionally, we'll see an alarm on a tank where you have a pump involved, where you're pumping it out to a drain field. And that alarm is out there to notify you basically that the pump did not kick on. So if the pump did not engage, now your tank's filling up with no place for it to go, the alarm will kick on for that. So that's the two typical ones that we see with alarms. If there's something else that's out there, I'm not familiar with what he would be putting an alarm on.
Matt, we're going to have you back. Still callers online with questions. Appreciate you being with us very much.
Sure, absolutely. It's been fun.
Matt Jansen with the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services, our guest. Great to have him with us. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, Brian Huddleston and Lisa Johnson will be answering your questions. We'll be live from PBS's Garden and Green Living Expo. In the meantime, thank you for listening and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller.